From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The Republican presidential candidates are sharpening their criticism of President Obama and his economic policies. In a two-hour debate in Iowa last evening, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney said he disagreed with the compromise worked out by the president and congressional leaders that headed off a default on government obligations.
Look, I'm not going to eat Barack Obama's dog food, all right? What he served up was not what I would have done if I'd have been president of the United States.
But the debate was highlighted by pointed exchanges between two GOP candidates from Minnesota. Former Governor Tim Pawlenty pointedly criticized Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, a Tea Party favorite, for what he said was her lack of accomplishments in Congress.
She said she's got a titanium spine. It's not her spine we're worried about. It's her record of results.
Bachmann wasted no time responding, claiming that Pawlenty's record as Minnesota governor sounded like President Obama.
When you were governor in Minnesota, you implemented cap and trade in our state, and you praised the unconstitutional individual mandate, and you called for requiring all people in our state to purchase health insurance that government would mandate.
Pawlenty replied that Bachmann is prone to making false statements. Both Pawlenty and Bachmann are pushing for a strong showing in tomorrow's straw poll in Ames, Iowa, a non-binding showdown that could help sort out the GOP field. Stocks on foreign exchanges are mainly higher today after Thursday's big rally on Wall Street, but Japan's Nikkei stock average closed down a bit today. Alan Valdez, a trader with DME Securities, says the recent wild price swings on stocks are good for him and his colleagues.
We love the volatility, yes, but for the average guy who goes to work at 9 and comes home at 4, it's a tough, gut-wrenching time, I'm sure.
Futures trading is pointing to a possible lower opening on Wall Street today. The pledge by Federal Reserve policymakers this week to keep short-term interest rates at rock-bottom levels for the next 2 years has helped drive mortgage rates down even further. But NPR's Chris Arnold reports many homeowners can't take advantage of the lowest rates in decades.
The mortgage giant Freddie Mac says that the average rate on 30-year fixed-rate loans is now at 4.3%. That's a great interest rate historically, and refinance applications are rising. But Guy Sicala, who publishes Inside Mortgage Finance, estimates that about half of U.S. homeowners can't qualify for those low rates.
The well-heeled borrowers who have a bunch of equity in their home, those are the people who are able to capitalize on low rates.
Meanwhile, the slowing U.S. economic recovery could mean even more foreclosures and falling home prices. That's got a growing number of economists saying that the government should come up with some kind of bold new refinancing and stimulus plan for the housing market. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
Human rights activists in Syria say government troops have opened fire on thousands of protesters in an eastern city, the protesters taking to the streets after Friday prayers. This is NPR News from Washington. The U.S. Postal Service is considering cutting as many as 120,000 jobs. And NPR's Giles Snyder reports other painful cuts could be on the way as the Postal Service struggles to deal with billions of dollars in losses.
Besides the possible job cuts, the Post Office also wants to pull its workers out of the retirement and health benefits plans covering federal workers and set up its own benefits system. The Postal Service is considering the moves because it's facing a second year of losses totaling $8 billion. But it has to have congressional approval. And either move could invite opposition from postal unions, which have contracts banning layoffs. If Congress doesn't act, the Postal Service says it could be unable to make a $5.5 billion payment due at the end of September to cover future employee health care costs. The cutback plans were first reported by The Washington Post. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
An unmanned military glider designed to respond to threats anywhere in the world within an hour has failed a test flight for the second time. NPR's Ina Jaffe reports the hypersonic glider was supposed to travel at 20 times the speed of sound.
The Falcon Hypersonic Test Vehicle 2, as it's formerly known, is designed to reach any location on the planet within an hour. It's shaped like an arrowhead with rocket thrusters to control its course once it separates from the launch rocket. According to military controllers, all went well through the launch phase and the glider separated from the rocket according to plan. After that, it was supposed to fly over the Pacific, traveling a distance of about 4,000 miles in 30 minutes before intentionally plunging into the ocean. But ground monitors lost contact with it during this phase. A test of another hypersonic glider last April also ended early because ground monitors lost contact with the vehicle.
I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.